girl, give me love, oh. Now you the catch in my shot, oh. For your sake, I go touch you. We go drive around you for my Porsche. Baby, pana, they say he like you, I love. I get you, I love. Baby, pana, anywhere that you go, I can follow you the go. Baby, pana, they say he like cassava, I get to be cassava. Baby, pana, my love for you, you never die, you never die. Iba, oh baby, Iba. Baby, you too sweet, Fajava. A baby dance to do the lagwaja. Make a take you to Fabalada. Iba, oh baby, Iba. Baby, you too sweet, Fajava. A baby dance to do the lagwaja. Oh, make a take you to Fabalada. So love is a beautiful thing. Can you de cool my temper? Love is a wonderful, tender feeling. You de give me. The baby dance. The beauty in your eyes, they give me life, oh, oh. Me could give the love, the dance, oh. What you say, what you say, come love, oh. Baby, leave it, I'm a and I'm a diva, 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 diva. If I say, I could kill you, show you love that you never see before. For like you give me love, oh. Now you are the playboy, no. Now you the catch in my shot, oh. I go touch you. Yeah. We go drive around before my Porsche. Baby, pana, they say he like you, I like. I get you, I like. Baby, pana, anywhere that you go, I can follow you to go. Baby, pana, they say he like cassava, I get to be cassava. Baby, pana, my love for you, we never die, we never die. Iba, oh baby, Iba. Baby, you too sweet, Fajava. A baby dance to do the lagwaja. Make a take to do Fabalada. Iba, oh baby, Iba. Baby, you too sweet, Fajava. A baby dance to do the lagwaja. Make a take to do Fabalada.
Fajata. You see, you're not taking my love, oh.
I did not understand, now I'm feeling. You are my woman crush, oh.
Wanyama, you see, in a my cabin, see, oh.
Maybe me no go let you go. I will hold it to your lover. For your sake, I go to you, show. Show you love that you never seen before. For like you give me love, oh. Now you the catch in my shot, oh. I said I go touch you, yeah. We go drive around before my Porsche. Baby, pana, they say you like you are. I get you are, baby.
Good morning, it's Saturday, May the 18th, 2019. Welcome to Zama Block Talk Radio. We do thank you for joining us. It's 8:03 Central Time in Dallas, Texas. Good afternoon, Europe. Good afternoon, Africa. I believe it's 15:03 or is it 3 p.m. in Zambia and somewhere around 9 p.m. in Western Australia. They are getting ready to go to bed. We do thank you for taking time to join us today. And to find out what is going on around the world and to just discuss a few things that concern and affect us every day around the world. It looks like the world seems to have one president. That's the way I'm looking at this. My name is Nathan Nkama, and I'm your host for today from the great state and city of Dallas, Texas. Okay, we're supposed to be in Zimbabwe today. We'll see if we can make that happen. Hi, Bella.
Good morning, Mr. Reverend. How are you?
Good morning. You're hanging out with a pretty girl?
No, I'm trying to exercise in preparations for the 10th anniversary so I can look good.
I like that. Yeah, you know, you have to... Huh?
Now, that's a very good answer.
Yes, it is. Hi, Matilda.
Good morning, Nathan. Good morning, ZBTR listeners. This is an exciting
day. How is the Lucas clan, the kingdom of the Lucases?
You mean the Lukashis, because this man who
was
an American is a Zambian. I'm telling you, I'll do a DNA.
Like I told you, he's Zambian, you're American. So just get that settled with and move on with life. So that's
the
what it is.
The American clothes, wearing Zambian clothes, Zambian colors, the whole week is wearing
things
of Zambian color. Yes, I said, okay, good luck.
No, not good luck, job well done.
No, good luck when the police ask you for your paperwork.
They won't.
I know, Nathan, I'm just teasing, but we are well.
I know. Okay. I don't know. We're trying to connect this colleague or friend of ours in Zimbabwe using Skype, but I hope it will work. Already having had a crazy busy week, so we never had the chance to get to this point. So I'm trying to discuss, he's written quite a little bit of things about democracy, rule of law, and all those kind of things. So I thought that we could talk to him and find out a few things, what is going on with that, and with those issues right there. The challenge of democracy in Africa, which is very interesting, because I personally am very skeptical about the things that are going on. Hi, Roger.
Yes, good morning, Nathan. Encouraging to hear our brother who is now full Zambian. Welcome to the... Yeah. We shall come and give him a proper... Is it Chirangamuliro? We show him the food, or you have shown him already?
Yeah.
We have not shown him the food, but when he went to Zambia, the food dishes presented on the table were enough for him to want to trade his citizenship. I said, okay.
I like that.
Let's go to the democratic topic very quickly. Mm-hmm. As Bella had mentioned in his greeting, I'm excited that we are getting closer to the 10th year anniversary that is coming up in September. So I know we are working hard behind the scenes, but for those who are listening, who have called in, and will listen later, just want to encourage you to start preparing, purchase our tickets, start making plans to celebrate with us. This is going to be epic. Zambia Block Talk Radio does not do things lightly, and, you know, this is the first time we're having... Well, not I can't say the first time because we met in Las Vegas several years ago, but since then it's the first time that we're meeting to do something momentous. So remember too, you can donate $10, at least a minimum of $10, to show support to Zambia Block Talk Radio as we prepare for our 10th anniversary, and even beyond that. So I just wanted to make that announcement to those who are listening.
Thank you, Matilda. Yeah, it's very important.
And by the way, we are officially 10 years tomorrow.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you, Roger, for saying that.
It was 19th, Saturday 19th of 2009, May 2009, when Zambia Block Talk Radio went live.
That's right. And do you know who our first guest was, Matilda? I think we've talked about this. Can you try to take a guess?
No, I don't want to take a guess. I know, but now I'm nervous since you've put me on the spot, right? I said, oh, what if I say the wrong answer? So, Nathan, who was our first guest?
You're very clever. You see how you Americans act. That's why my Zambian brother is treating you the way he's treating you. It was Dennis Liwewe, isn't that so, Roger? It was Dennis Liwewe.
Yes. Dennis Liwewe, we are Dennis Liwewe. Next was Kalusha Walia.
Kalusha Walia.
That order. I think not very far, we had KK.
Yes.
In that small period, we were hot with ministers until they started answering the phone while watching the match. Oh, I'm in the stadium. That's when we said, these people.
Yeah, I know, right? That was a very interesting scenario when we called that gentleman, and then he said, we just heard the noise in the background, and he was like, I'm watching football at the stadium. Gentlemen, I thought we said we were going to have a...
Through Vinda, it was Minister of Sport at some point, through Vinda.
Yes, it was. That's what happened.
Over the years, that has been consistent, Nathan. Our guests would agree to come on the program, and you call them, and you can hear people cheering, and then they'll say, oh, I'm at the stadium. What? How long is this show supposed to be? And yet you prepped them for 2 weeks, even the night before, to say,
even the
having
night
a
before, Ms. Lucas.
Yes.
Even the night before, they tell you, okay, everything is okay.
Yeah, amazing, eh? Amazing, amazing, amazing. Okay, so this gentleman, we're trying to connect through Mrs. Lucas. What shall we do about that? Looks like the technicalities here are not cooperating.
Nathan, while you are discussing that, let me work with the guest behind the scenes so that you know we can do that.
Yeah, please do that whilst I'm chatting with Bela and Roger here about what we shall be doing in September in Dallas and the things that will follow and what we are working on and stuff like that. Roger, I know you're going to... You see, what I want to discuss with this gentleman, he has written, he's written quite a bit on democracy, okay? And he argues that democracy works and it brings development. But I told him, I said, look, I don't seem to agree with that because democracy seems to be everywhere now. It just seems to be about elections. Even in the so-called great United States of America, things have fallen apart. Like Chinua Achebe wrote, things fall apart. I don't know what your thoughts are.
We are... what is the term they use to give a bad name to Muslims? We are... there's that term they use. Where you have been... your convictions have changed dramatically. Okay, I've forgotten. I'll remember it. That is what we have become, you know, for us who have spent quite a good chunk of our time in United States, here in Canada. So someone to come and tell us there is something, a better system than a democratic. Because if you really think about it, Nathan, with people who say democracy is a bad choice, all of us, I don't know about others. Like, I don't speak for others. I want to have a say in my country, whether the president likes it or not. So we see what happened in Chang'e Square in China. People wanted to speak up. They were crushed. Does it mean that because leaders in China are forced on them, people don't really have an opinion over it? They do. So I am probably not going to be the one who is going to promote dictatorship, so to say, because things are working, things is okay. Can't we have both? democracy and development at the same time? Well, the bigger part of the free world, we see everything, how good it is. It is a very small portion, Nathan. People should not cheat us, who are like China, and they are doing well. Very, very small portion. Russia has got so many problems like a third world country, if you look at it.
Mm.
You know? So if we were to pick whether democracy and development or dictatorship and development, every day I'll pick democracy and development.
There you go. There you go. That I like what you just said there. You're gonna pick democracy because you see, the tenets of democracy demand that people should be able to exert freedom of expression. Roger, Bella, everybody
yes.
listening, is very crucial. Crucial.
Very,
crucial.
Very crucial. Mm-hmm.
You cannot overemphasize it. Those of us who grew up. We're not trying to demonize Dr. Kaunda, but that was the era we lived under. You couldn't express, if you have, I don't know how many of us have interacted with people who lived in Bulgaria, Romania, those countries. Oh, my goodness. They'll tell you stories you cannot believe. That freedom of expression is just very crucial.
We are losing your sound just a bit, Nathan.
Oh, okay.
Much better.
Wow, okay, that's good. Yeah, you see, that freedom of expression is very critical. You can't even overemphasize it, you know. And I know, Bella, you're waiting, but I don't know what your thoughts are on this. I don't know what your thoughts on this are, Bella. This is very critical. Very, very critical. I mean, you cannot have a situation where, let's say, for example, okay, we have been talking about this thing of freedom of assembly. Okay? For example, when people try to get a pen, let's just take it home. You know, when people try to get together, of course, you have to get and need to permit to do something. Now, I don't know whether it is true what I saw on social media. I don't know whether you saw this, where they are saying even for him to attend a church service, he has to get permission from the police. HH. Is that an exaggeration or what? I don't know. What? Did you see that report, Roger?
I did, and I saw it. I saw the statement by the police lady. I saw the statement. It is how ridiculous our government in Zambia has become. That was exactly what you are seeing. And packing big things like that, Nathan, we should be very, very thoughtful sometimes. What does this mean when you
yes.
see that? Because then we are seeing the police who are acting outside the law. There is no law which requires anybody to attend church in our country. So when people start to feel that the police are not there for us, we, at one point or another, we'll start making our own preparations to defend ourselves from the police.
Mm-hmm.
Do people get surprised how Somalia is so broken? They have no government. In 20 years, they have had no government because every section of these people, they create their own government every year. It is things like that, Nathan.
Yeah.
Police are supposed to be there for every one of us. Whether you are PND or PF, whether you are CK Kambwiri or this one, they're supposed to be there for everyone. that trust Nathan, our country
yeah.
is gone. And I hope Mr. Lungu knows. I hope the PF knows where they are drifting our nation.
Mm. And you know, when you start making, when you start making...
I don't know what is... your mic? We are really having trouble with it.
The technology is not working. Let me just do this. Technology is not working. At times we try to go technological way, but
to have it easy.
I take.
Yeah.
I know, right? It's something very crazy. Okay, so this democracy thing, where you have a situation, it's supposed to bring. The purpose of a democratic system is not just a matter of people having free speech, being able to choose leaders of their own choice, but it's able to create an environment where people are able to conduct business and the prices are dictated or commanded by the market forces. Is that what they call it? Something like that. But you see that this is what they say. If the rule of law and other components of the democratic process are not working, you find that the business component also fails. So you cannot separate one from the other. Okay?
That's correct.
That is where the problem comes in. And this is what I'm trying to tell our brother and colleague from Zimbabwe, the lecturer in the Department of History, who's written widely and extensively about this democratic process in Africa. And you see, a friend of mine from South Africa sent me one of the articles he has written, and he says it would be good to have this guy on the show. And, you know, I said, yeah, we can talk to him about it. And I thought it was interesting based on what you're going to be talking about on open forum to do with the statement that the president made at the, I believe that is Simon Mwansakapwepwe Airport in Indola, right? When he arrived on the copper belt.
Yes.
I listened to that video clip. I listened to it like 3-4 times. And I said to myself, like I'm saying, this sounds like somebody I know sometime in my childhood growing up talking like this, Roger. I said, it sounds like you need the era.
Yeah.
You don't make statements like that in a democratic free market economy. As bad as Trump may be, you cannot make statements like that, because look at what has happened. Okay, now we're throwing things all over the place here to connect the dots. You heard what Walmart has said, Roger. Because of the trade deal between U.S. and China falling apart, it is perfect. Walmart says they are going to increase the prices in their store. Can you believe that?
Of course.
Because the trade deal between them and the United States has fallen apart.
What about Trump? Does not take care. You say, okay, some of this stuff we are putting on the taxes, all these small taxes. Who is going to pay this? It will affect China in that people will not buy as much, and therefore their exports will be. But the people here also, they will find things expensive in Walmart, because Walmart will be making a loss if they are paying that at the border. You buy one keto from China at $4. They come here, they put on $2 as a tariff. Guess what? Walmart
yes.
don't go to sell it at $6. They have to make a profit. They will sell it at $8 or $10. You and I, who are used to $6 things, what happens? Number one, either we buy or we don't buy. Who suffers? Both China
That's
and the United
true.
States. They all suffer.
Exactly right. That's what is happening. to those listening, we're still working on trying to get our friend from Zimbabwe. Mrs. Lucas is working on that, trying to get our friend from Zimbabwe connected and see whether we can talk to him about democracy and development in Africa. Dr. Pat Mwashibugen.
Mwakalini.
Roger, you seem to have caught up with it. I was trying to figure out. I'm like, what did he just say?
Oh, no.
My Kaleni.
Yeah, my Kwai.
Hey,
you see, my goodness. Everything connected.
Bella, this man is going to address the convention in September in Bemba, you know?
That's right.
Oh, my God. Pennsylvania, I am a machine. Go ahead.
Mulandi Sani, brother and sister.
That's a good one.
Say that again, Dr. Patrick.
Yeah.
Say that again. One more time.
Mulanda Sani, how do you say brother and sister?
Mulanda and kid.
Vankashi na Vandume.
Okay. Brother is what?
Is sister. Vankashi is sister.
With the M?
Is it Nkashi with M or N? Nkashi
N.
Is N. N-K,
N.
N-K-A-S-H-I. Nkashi, that is sister.
Okay, and brother again?
Brother is Ndume. Ndume is what? N-D-U-N-M-E. Ndume.
Yeah,
N-D-U-M-E.
That one is simple.
Okay. All right. So I would say,
yeah.
Ulishane Ndume and Nkasashi.
Oh, Nkashi, yes. Nkashi.
Nkashi. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, my goodness. What have we just done now? Yeah, that's the vocabulary.
That's the one for Jim, Bejo.
So I think the best way to do it is to cover to make him a Patrick in Zambia for at least a month.
Dr. Patrick is going to address the convention in September in Bemba. Watch.
Okay.
So we're discussing democracy and development in Africa here. We're supposed to be joined by Anotida Chikumbu. He's a lecturer at the University of Zimbabwe. Whatever happens, if it doesn't happen today, we can always connect him another day, but we're working on it behind the scenes. Whether we talk to him for 5 or 10 minutes, it's fine. My argument, Dr. Patrick, and what we've been talking about with Roger here is that, and Vatsebo here, who has just joined us, I know Vatsebo has also got very strong views on this topic, especially when it comes to his tribal cousin, President Edgar Lungu, who is nothing close to being an Easterner. That's what happens to us when we grow up on the Copper Belt. We become Copper Belt people, whether we carry an Eastern name or whatever name, Lozi, Tonga. Like my friend Mbuweti Momba in UK, I call him a Tonga from the Copper Belt. He speaks better English, better Bemba than even Vatsebo here. Have you heard this mother speak Bemba, Roger?
Well, that's a Mukuba boy. So this is a Kuba Belt guy.
I like that Mukuba boy. This mother speaks Bemba like he grew up in Chitimukuru's neighborhood. Okay, the point I'm trying to make here, Dr. Patrick and Matsewe and everybody listening, is that democracy cannot just have a component of people having free speech. We appreciate that. We can't just have an electoral process. And when people are elected in office, they tend to forget those who elected them, and they become crazy and run the power gets into their head, like we are seeing with a certain president in a certain big democratic country. We won't mention names here. You can figure out for yourself. It does affect the business component and the development component. Dr. Patrick, just before you called in, Roger and I were tabling the issue of the trade deal between the U.S. and China falling apart. And I don't know how many of you have seen Walmart making an announcement in the past 2 days in the news that things might go up in their shops, in their stores, because 90 to 80% of the stuff in their stores comes from China. So to the, having made that point, Dr. Patrick, democracy affects development and the livelihood and the business component of a nation. Your thoughts on that? You can see it happening between America and China right now. It's in the play.
Well, you and Roger are very correct in your statement, in your assessment. I would like to even distill it down to the level of the everyday shopper.
Mm-hmm.
You had mentioned
that.
The margin of profit remains with the mega corporation, the board members,
mm-hmm.
the investors. They will receive, let's say they're receiving $5 out of $1 gained, and the tariffs go up. Then they're probably, they'll maintain the five, or they may even get six. But what happens is the people of China and the everyday person in the United States, when they go to Walmart, they will pay the difference. The board members and the investors will not feel the impact. It's the everyday person. It's the person that casts their one vote for one particular individual over another individual. They are being pained in a way that cannot be recovered. Because when Walmart increases their prices, when was the last time you saw a price go up and then it came down? That price will remain at that level, regardless of what happens with the trade wars, quote unquote. The margins will remain and it will increase, and the everyday citizen will continue to pay. The Chinese people will pay less because they're being subsidized by their government.
Of course.
When they purchase products and the tariffs are hit on them, the government withstands that hit predominantly.
Mm.
But in the United States, the buyers, the people, the everyday Joes and Marys will suffer, and they will absorb the hit.
You see, I like the phrase or expression you used, Dr. Patrick, everyday shopper. And it comes down to the everyday person. In a democratic process, you need to be concerned about the everyday people. Our current governments run on the ticket of being pro-poor, okay? They did something with minimum wage, taxes, and all those things. So to that effect, you need to understand that your policies need to reflect and be concerned with the everyday person or everyday shopper. Everybody is a shopper in a country, whether you like it or not. Everybody is an everyday shopper. They have to buy food. They have to buy things that have to keep them up. So it's very important that the so-called democratic process in a country is very, very sensitive. And you see, one of the issues that we deal with, let's say when you're in the transport business, one of the things, the problems we have in, I always like to take this back home and make it relate to the everyday person, the price of gas. Oh, okay, they call it fuel or petrol in Zambia. The price of fuel, let's use that word. That's the price of fuel. Now I'm seeing people are posting on what? On social media, and somebody posted something very funny, Bianchi. It was a joke. I think in Zambia, even in the U.S., you get your driver's license at 16. Somebody joked and they said, very soon the Kwacha will be eligible to start driving. because it will be at $16 per, it will be 16 kwacha per dollar, something like that. But how critical does the fuel price, transportation of things, and all this stuff affect, like Dr. Patrick has said, the everyday shopper?
Thank you, Vanessa, and thank you for giving me this opportunity. I'm not an economist, but you have brought up a good discussion here between the Democratic-run government and I don't know what we call our government. I haven't been there for quite some time. Is this are we socialist or are we
That doesn't work anymore, but because China is supposed to be communist, but look, they've got capitalistic policies in their business dealings. So that has fallen into pieces now.
Yes, Dr. Patrick was commenting on the question that you posed to him, and especially some of us who have stayed here, I'm not saying we really understand the democratic way of running things, but the way the China runs, because here the government is there to look out for its people and to to see that if you're not trading on a they'll come in and they'll post taxes on there and they pass laws, and each state that is on, some states you go in and there's more taxes on fuel and compared to some states, and the thing sometimes some of us don't like China is because the government's so much involved. They can go and print their own money, and that's not fair for, like, the government is helping you than letting the people run the economy, and the government is just there to make sure that things are running smoothly. And
to cut you short, here's another thought I want to bring up here. And we're talking about democracy and development in Africa.
Yes.
I want Pianki to respond to this. There is a tendency for the so-called superpowers. To me, there's no such thing as a superpower. Every country is a superpower in its own right. There is a tendency, Pianki, for the so-called superpowers to dictate and determine in other countries that this leader needs to go and all that, blah, blah, blah. Like, not that I condone what's going on in Venezuela. No, I don't. But now we have the issue of Iran. It's got nothing to do with Trump. Countries have done this over the years. I know that, Roger, there's no tax in, is it Delaware, Roger?
Both Delaware and Alberta, where I am, we don't have sales tax.
Okay, there's no sales tax. I know also another place, I think there's no tax in Dubai. And I'm told, Pianki, under Gaddafi, Libya, the economy was very good and things were doing very well, but somebody decided that he needed to go. I don't know what you would comment on that.
Well, there's states that don't have to pay income tax. I think Texas, Nevada, Delaware, like you mentioned. So you don't, in Florida, I believe, some states you don't have tax on food. I'm here in Louisiana, unleaded gas is about $2.28 a gallon. When I was here in the winter, it was down to like $1.89 a gallon.
Oh, wow.
So,
it's $2.29 right now?
Yeah, $2.29,
$2.34. Here it's $2.69.
Yeah, my favorite snack, Dr. Patrick, Kit Kats, sometimes they go up to $1.34. Sometimes it'll go up.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they go down to 78 cents. But your development in democracy, You know, I like to separate it from the government because governments don't. Mm-hmm. You know, in St. Louis, governments don't do no development. It's people that do the development.
Right. Yeah,
a government. A government will be asked to do certain things. Like, you know, we participated in building a General Motors automobile assembly plant in Wentzville, Missouri, and General Motors asked the city to build a road from the highway that leads up to the plant. Well, they did. You see the same thing with TIF, tax incremental financing for Walmart stores. So that development comes out of people. I hear folks say that the United States is in Africa taking and stealing resources. But that's not the United States government. Those are companies that have expertise in the activity mm-hmm. that they're involved in.
Supported
you have
by
a Canadian,
the United States.
Well,
mm-hmm.
any American business. Any American business.
As we are going to look in Congo.
Yeah, any American
yeah.
business was supported by the United States. They're supposed to be. You, myself, Nathan, you could start a company in extraction of copper, and we being American businesses, and they not knowing anything else, they would support us also. So that's what they do. The United mm-hmm. States have their one organization called the U.S. Trade and Development Agency, and they do support American ventures. If we wanted to start a power generation station and we needed to use turbines that's produced by General Electric, well, it's a possibility that they would grant the turbines to that project. We wouldn't have to pay for them. So that's how that works. People have to do these things. If you look all through the history of the United States, Andrew Carnegie, look at the J.P. Morgan. Look at Charles Schwab. J.P. Morgan bought for $400 million in his group Andrew Carnegie Steel, and they formed U.S. Steel. The deal was put together, or should I say, promoted by Charles Schwab, and we know what he does today. These are people. Read it.
That's the railroad.
You see.
Yeah.
But
listen,
just to add on a little bit Pianchi had said about American government doing business in other countries. But the same government here in America, you know, that allow their people to do business in other countries. Let me just give an example. If they came to Zambia, and American company came to Zambia and then moved people. They do mining, and they just move people without compensating the people. You know, Zambian can come and sue that company in America, and then they can take that company to court here in the USA, and the courts they will hear the people from Africa. They won't say no because you're not American. The same government we're saying. It allows these people to do business in other places. But those people know the law of the United States, the government. They are scared to do business. They might go through another company to do business in Africa because, you know, when you deal with a corrupt government, you know, you don't know what you're expecting. And they're afraid to get sued, you know. So
yeah, that's the key word, corrupt government. You know,
because
Ashanti Gold in Ghana, Ashanti Gold in Ghana, and Anglo Gold came together to do mining in Ghana. Well, they moved a village, but they had to build them new homes and compensate them for the move in a particular area. So apparently the government said, this is what you're going to do. That's what governments are for.
Okay.
They don't stop.
This was going to be, let me throw this at everybody, Roger. I want everybody to listen there. I was really wrestling with this issue. And this was going to be my first question to our guest. And I want to throw it to all of us here, everybody. Mathilde, I hope you're here too, because I want to hear your thoughts on this. Where did this notion come from, Dr. Patrick, that Africa can only be developed by foreign investment. Roger, where did that notion come from? Why can't we run our own mines? Why can't we do our own things without so-called foreign investment? I don't know. Am I crazy? Where did that notion come from?
You are crazy, Nathan. And I'll tell you why you are crazy. Number one, just a little bit I've learned about the Chinese model, how they started being where they are. First, they sorted out their agriculture program to feed themselves.
Yeah.
When it came, I don't know if it was Industrial Revolution. I want to assume that they paid much attention to education. They were educating their people. So that come 2019 today, they are not relying on Americans to teach them ABC, to teach them how to do a circuit, electrical circuit. On the other hand, while we lived in the bush, while the colonial masters, if you look, I don't know if you saw that video I sent, masters from Belgium came. We never even attended school. Even our own people who were brought to America as slaves, it was illegal to go to school. So I don't know where our basis for development could have been. And then come to 21st century, our own selfishness has taken over. We cannot put more money into schools so that, okay, come on 22nd century, our children will be independent. They'll be able to do things on their own. No, we are buying brains as a leader. We are not putting money into education. So, yes, you are crazy to think that without us educating our children, without us getting good education, we will one day be able to manufacture a pencil.
There you go. Okay. Here's some.
I would like to.
What do you call
I would
it?
Like to. I would like to add
go
on
ahead,
to that
Dr.
quickly. When it comes to business and when it comes to investment, our brothers and sisters in the developing countries are still in the area of checker playing. We started with colonialism, and then when the business capitalists were kicked out of, quote-unquote, they left neocolonialism. And the game of neocolonialism is checkers. What was never taught and continues not to be talked about and directed is the game of chess. And the game of chess is international business. The game of chess is speaking a language of business exchange and corporations. Pianchi says that government doesn't do the work or doesn't do what one would think it does. The people do the work. And that's true, but remember, the government protects the people. And the people are not the ones we're talking about the people that go to Walmart. The people that I'm talking about are the board members or the multi-corporations. They are protected by the government, by laws. So if you're knowledgeable about the checkers of law, then you'll be able to protect your investment. And if you can't protect your investment, the government will protect your investment. I would add a golden nugget, a nugget of history for you. The closest individual in the business world to Donald Trump is J.P. Morgan. Bianchi mentioned J.P. Morgan a few minutes ago. A little bit about J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan was a con artist, but he was a wise con artist. In that every time a Carnegie or a Rockefeller or a Frick met J.P. Morgan, J.P. Morgan always had the money, quote unquote, or they believed he had the money. So what J.P. Morgan would do is he would combine the monies of this corporation and that corporation and this corporation and other corporations and purchase a consortium of another company. And everybody thought that being that he was in charge of this bank, J.P. Morgan Bank, and he had all this money to buy these mega businesses, he had a lot of money. What they found out was when J.P. Morgan died, he didn't have as much money, even less money that they had thought he did. He was crafty in using other people's money. So when you talk about J.P. Morgan, think of his craftiness in using other people's money, as opposed to him owning as much money as they believed he did.
Here is what has been going through my mind. Okay, like Roger said, time is gone. I'm glad Roger mentioned tomorrow, 19th May, marks exactly 10 years when we started this radio show. So 10 years, this radio has been making me go crazy and crazy and crazy and crazy. Why? You see, you get something. An idea comes from Europe, Australia, America, wherever, India. Can I take it and mold it and make it to suit my situation in Zambia, in Sudan, in Egypt, in South Africa, in New Zealand? I take something and I make it suit my situation. The reason I'm talking like this, Dr. Patrick Bianchi, I was processing this the other day, Roger, on Thursday. Today, Saturday, Thursday. My youngest daughter has graduated from high school with a high school diploma and an associate degree from a community college. They call it, the program is called Dual Credit. You know this. Behind those of you here, you know this. Those listen. Okay, so Roger, I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is a good system. Somebody thought about, Bianchi, somebody came up with this idea. It didn't just happen. So since she went into ninth grade, she's been also taking classes at the college. It's a school program. So she graduates with a high school diploma and an associate degree from a community college. It doesn't sound very complicated to me, Titus. Okay? We were colonized. Why didn't we get ideas from the colonialists and some things that we saw happening and doing and happening and twist them to suit our situation? That's the way I'm thinking. You see, my crazy mind, Roger, these 10 years, what has happened to my mind? I'm saying to myself, can I take something, Bianchi, and make it suit my situation? I don't need to duplicate it exactly the way it is. Well, that's the way my mind is working.
Well, if myself, you and Roger, Mr. Patrick, and Kevin, and we decided to make an automobile,
mm-hmm.
Well, we wouldn't make a Model T for it. A Model A for
no.
We would build off the latest technology and style today. So that is taking it to make it suit your purpose, your end purpose. There's an African-American gentleman by the name of Greg Mims. He makes electric cars. He's in Nevada. His car is just as good as or better than Tesla's. But nobody has hardly heard of it. He's a conjunction with – he's trying to move some things over to Nigeria. So his car is not a Model A Ford.
Mm.
So it depends. It's you. Now, your daughter is done this dual credit thing. All right. Now, when she go to a college, you have to make sure that the college she goes to will recognize those credits because there's also –
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Now, if you, Nathan, had a major operation – let's say in the manufacturing of steel. It's not necessary that your daughter wants to get involved in that because we have seen people who had operations and major things that their children didn't want to have nothing to do with. My daughter didn't want to have nothing to do with the construction. So now that's the dilemma you have. You got to go out and get somebody who do. But it's the same thing. You know what you need in your village in Africa. It takes,
yes,
you got to have the will to do it. And in many cases, like Roger's up there in Canada, he's got a business, he's got kids in school, he's got a residence to take care of. He don't have time to go over and dedicate to building something in his village because his time is occupied where it is now, and he needs that. I mean, that's the reality.
Here is a business proposal that Pianchi just brought up, and a lot of business proposals are camouflaged and relocated in different areas of thought. Pianchi just mentioned that he knows or he heard of a brother that makes cars as better or equal to Tesla's cars. And this brother is planning on doing some business in Nigeria. An individual in Zambia that has connections with the government in Zambia can call Pianchi up and say, Pianchi, please give me the name of this individual, because I want to convince this individual to bring his business to Zambia. All I need to know is what does he need in order to have him bring his car to Zambia. That's a business opportunity.
You know, another thing too, I want you guys to listen to me very closely, because it's very seldom I like to talk like this. I started at the age of 19 erecting structural steel. We know what structural steel is. It's columns and beams that hold up buildings like fell in 9/11. I learned that because I was a foreman, a general foreman for the company that I worked for. Matter of fact, as soon as I got out of apprentice school, they made me a foreman. So I was basically running a portion of the overall business. I was directing the crews, making sure everything was well. I knew how to do that. So guess what? I started my own company doing that. If you're going to start, you're either going to have to do one or two things. You're going to have to stop what you're doing already for somebody else and duplicate it under your own banner. And then money will come to you because what's in your head is very, very valuable. Or
that's true.
You have money and ideas, you have to hire somebody to do what it is that you want to achieve. Those are only two ways.
Yeah. Okay. We'll continue with our lunacy and tomorrow is 19th May, exactly 10 years. On 19th May 2009, Zambia Block Talk Radio went on air. We're celebrating 10 years this year. We want you to join us in Dallas, Texas on April 13th and 14th. So go to our website, zbtr.org, and join us. Let's all call back in at open forum. And trust me, I just touched the tip of the iceberg. You want to be under a fire? Call back in. Let's continue our conversation.
Kumova kudibe ntawi yo nakopanja kumwana.